Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. It's a little light on Packers football news. This past weekend, the bulk of the sports world attention in the state of Wisconsin was on the Final Four. Pretty much most media outlets were very focused on covering the Wisconsin Badgers, and what a disappointing game that was on Saturday evening in the loss to the Kentucky Wildcats. The Badgers had been in control for a majority of the game and then let go at the end. As a Badgers fan, I was extremely disappointed that they're not playing this evening for a shot at the national championship. But it is what it is. Congratulations to the Wisconsin Badgers for a terrific season, very entertaining one, and a lot of talented players. They should be good for years to come. Of course, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback, very much supported them on their run up to the Final Four. He was at both games, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, as they qualified for the Final Four. We covered that quite a bit in depth last week. But Aaron Rodgers was a little bit busy this weekend. He was taking part in the Michael Jordan Celebrity Invitational in Las Vegas, annual charity event in which celebrity golfers get together, compete against one another. In twosomes, compete together, some of them. And you know, a lot of the money raised goes to charity, things like that. So Aaron Rodgers taking part in that at Shadow Creek Golf Course in Las Vegas, owned by Aria Resort and Casino. We've been providing updates at Cheesehead TV. Aaron Rodgers did not win the tournament. He was actually in contention heading into Sunday's final round, but couldn't out-duel former nemesis Chicago Bears linebacker Brian Urlacher, who was actually part of the winning group this weekend. So, I mean, that's the biggest Packers news I had over the weekend for you. Aaron Rodgers in a golf tournament that really nobody cares too much about. But seeing as we don't have a whole lot of Packers news, I kind of want to point you, if you're watching the live show right now, if you just scroll down in that article, you can see the picture there. Notre Dame's big nose tackle, Lewis Nix. We published that article at Cheesehead TV this past Friday, just kind of profiling Lewis Nix and it kind of exploring the possibility of whether the Packers might be interested in him or interested in a nose tackle in general. And that's kind of what I wanted to explore here this Monday morning. Because I think it's a unique situation the Packers have at nose tackle. As you know, they have kind of moved on from a lot of the big bodies on the defensive line. Not that they're, you know, they've ruled out bringing back players like Ryan Pickett and Johnny Jolly, but, they're currently free agents. The Packers, you know, not really showing that they're excited to sign them or not going to definitely do so for any large amount of money. But the Packers did bring back B.J. Raji. And, I mean, if you follow the Packers, if you listen to this show, you kind of know the background by now. B.J. Raji turning down reportedly a contract offer worth $8 million per season, with $20 million guaranteed, passes that up for a shot at free agency, and after having a very poor 2013 season, B.J. Raji didn't receive a whole lot of interest from the Packers or anybody for that matter. The Packers willing to give him a one-year kind of prove-it contract in which Raji signed for 1 year and right about $4 million. Which obviously less than he was offered earlier, less than he was looking for, less years than he was looking for. But that's what happens when you have a poor season, pretty much a poor couple seasons like B.J. Raji has had. Hasn't had a sack since 2011. Just really, his impact has been nil, and several times getting pushed backward, just blown off the ball. For a guy his size, it was ridiculous to see at times how often that happened. But so where do the Packers go from here with only offering Raji a one-year contract? What are they doing at the nose tackle position? They're getting smaller. At least, Raji's still as big as ever, but there's no other big, big defensive linemen. You know, the guys who are 330 pounds or so that, you know, Jolly and Pickett were. So what are they doing? The Packers appear not to be going to a 4-3, as people have kind of speculated maybe they were during the offseason, that maybe they should. As if you know by now, the Packers have signed Raji to move him to nose tackle, a position he played very well during the 2010 Super Bowl season and had, you know, as I remember, like 6.5 sacks that season. Fantastic numbers for a nose tackle. Kind of since been giving way. Ryan Pickett's kind of been playing the nose the past few years. Raji's kind of been more of a defensive end, hasn't been playing the nose. And that's where, of course, the Packers are going to move Raji back. They feel it's kind of more in his comfort zone. He's closer to the football, things like that. They feel like he can be more of a playmaking person there, a playmaker type of, cutting into the backfield, things like that, that Raji can do if he lines up there at the zero technique position. Now, the Packers not making a long-term commitment to B.J. Raji, though. 1 year. And I suppose if Raji does look motivated and does play well, maybe they go out and sign him to a longer-term contract. I mean, he's still relatively young yet. I mean, what is B.J. Raji, 27, 28 years old? He still has a very few productive years in him, maybe even younger than that. Is he only 26? I don't know the number off the top of my head. Regardless, he still has, until he hits, of course, they say the wrong side of 30. These guys can be very productive. And you see, heck, a guy like Vince Wilfork has performed very well into his 30s. So certainly not out of the question. And as I was alluding to here, if B.J. Raji goes and he has a terrific season in 2014, he kind of reprises what he did the Super Bowl season. I mean, he doesn't even have to play that well. I mean, that was amazing the year he had there. But, just saying he has a good season, I mean, maybe the Packers sign him and he is kind of their nose tackle for the next, 4 years or whatever until he starts, getting past his prime. The lack of commitment, though, from the Packers kind of indicates, maybe they're ready to part ways with Raji. And hey, maybe even if he does have a good season, there's no guarantee it's the Packers he's signing with. Maybe he does finally, get what he wanted all along and goes out and tries to, sign with another team for big time money. I've heard a lot of people speculate that B.J. Raji wants to play in a 4-3 system. I don't know. I mean, I guess we have to ask Raji that himself. Hearing Mike McCarthy talk, kind of sounds like he wants to play nose tackle, as opposed to, off the zero technique in a 4-3. But, okay, going back here, what's the future of the nose tackle position if they move on from Raji? Do the Packers actually go and do they invest in a nose tackle this year? And that's, kind of coming full circle here on the article we had posted here on Lewis Nix of Notre Dame this past Friday. It's the featured article on our homepage currently at CheeseheadTV.com. Louis Nix is kind of considered the number one nose tackle in this year's 2014 NFL draft class. I mean, do the Packers want to invest in a nose tackle in the first round? And after that, I mean, there's kind of a large drop-off after Louis Nix as far as true nose tackles go. Some people argue that maybe Rashid Hageman of Minnesota could be a nose tackle. I'm not really buying it. I think he's more of the end type of guy. Not that he couldn't play there in a pinch or something like that, but I don't think he's the true nose tackle type. I mean, after that, I mean, you're talking like mid-round guys to the next best nose tackle. Daniel McCullers of Tennessee, guys like that. I mean, you're talking, you know, third round at earliest with a guy like him, and maybe not even there. So, I mean, it's either the Packers address it, you know, if you want an impact kind of guy, you address it in the first round. Otherwise, you wait, and you maybe don't get quite the same caliber of player. I see they're throwing out the name Justin Ellis. John is on the live blog. Again, another mid-round type of guy, though. Just not definitely in the same category as Louis Nix. Not that Justin Ellis can't be a good player. Not that Daniel McCullers can't be a good player. They're just not in the same category as Louis Nix. So, I mean, do the Packers go out and spend their 21st overall draft pick on a nose tackle on Louis Nix when they have so many other positions of need in Green Bay? Not just, you know, on the defensive side of the football, offense as well. But, I mean, the needs are particularly acute on defense. Of course, you need the safety. They could really use an inside linebacker. You can never have enough pass rushers, no matter what position they're playing. And Louis Nix is not a pass rusher, really. In 3 years of college football, he declared as a junior, so he only played 3 years at Notre Dame. In 3 years, he only had 2.5 sacks. Now, that's kind of been my argument against Louis Nix. I mean, if you're going to invest in a first-round draft choice, don't you want a guy who's going to make a bigger impact on the game than a guy who's had 2.5 career sacks in college? And I realize, I mean, when you're 331 pounds like Louis Nix, and he's ballooned up to more than that at Notre Dame at times, above 331. I realize you're not going to be a pass rusher, but I mean, still, I mean, don't you want, if you're going to make that first round investment, millions of dollars into a player, don't you want it to be in a guy who's going to make a lot of sacks? Or, I mean, if you're not addressing, you know, pass rusher position, a guy who's going to make a lot of interceptions, things like that, turnover plays that are so crucial to the outcome in the game of football. You know, it's all about sacks. It's all about turnovers. And Louis Nix isn't going to provide those. I mean, he may be the premier run stuffer in the 2014 draft, pardon me. But, I mean, look at the NFL. Nobody's running anymore. I mean, it's not like nobody ever runs, but the importance is certainly not placed on the run anymore. Louis Nix just isn't going to get after quarterbacks. I mean, he may occasionally, once or twice a season. I mean, over the course of 16 games, he's going to get lucky once in a while every couple hundred snaps. But that isn't to say he hasn't been in the backfield, though. He did during the 2012 Notre Dame run to the national championship. He had 7.5 tackles for a loss that year, that season. Tackles behind the line of scrimmage. 7.5 in 1 year. It's not too bad. So a lot of those are coming against running plays. And hey, I mean, any tackle for a loss, You cut down a guy behind the line of scrimmage, that's practically as good as a sack, really. I mean, the offensive team is losing yardage. But I just wonder, I mean, you look at all the other options the Packers have in front of them. I mean, just, you know, a lot of the names thrown out, you know, at safety, Haha, Clinton Dix, Calvin Pryor, Deion Buchanan. I mean, those are guys that can get you interceptions in the secondary or get you forced fumbles by hitting somebody so hard they knock the snot out of them and drop the ball. Or you look at the pass rushers, you know, talk about Ryan Shazier, C.J. Mosley, those inside linebackers, those top prospects. Those are the guys who can rush the passer, but also, you know, maybe be the leading tacklers on the team. Are they maybe more important than a big run-plugging run stuffer like Nix? Or pass rushers like Dee Ford of Auburn? You know, a guy who's going to come off the edge and be a speed rusher off the edge. The type who, you know, in a best case scenario, is getting you double digit sacks instead of the one or two that Lewis Nix is going to get you. I mean, you kind of have to consider those things, and that's why I think the Packers are not going to address nose tackle, you know, in the first round. Are not going to select Lewis Nix at number 21 overall. Not that he's not a good player. I just think you got to pass on him at number 21 overall when there's the possibility of getting a better prospect, a guy who can make a bigger impact. And hey, I mean, if he were on the board in the second round when the Packers pick, I mean, that's a value pick right there. Not that I expect him to fall that far, but... I mean, that's what the Packers are dealing with. They only have one first-round pick. Unfortunately, you can't address every position. It would be nice. It would be nice if they had five first-round picks and you could get five impact players at safety, inside linebacker, defensive line, tight end, and wide receiver. It's not happening. They're only having one and probably a 5% chance that they would, you know, move up and get a second pick in the first round. You know, the odds of that are pretty slim. Could happen, but, you know, just not betting on it, I would say. So I mean, what do you do then? If you pass on Lewis Nix, do you take one of these mid-round guys? Daniel McCullers, Justin Ellis, Ryan Carruthers? I mean, do you grab a nose tackle then and kind of groom them in case B.J. Raji eventually leaves? You know, he's only signed to a one-year contract, so he may not be around in 2015. It's possible. I mean, if B.J. Raji leaves, that's going to leave quite the void at nose tackle next year unless the Packers find another one. I mean, is Josh Boyd a nose tackle? I'm not sure he's cut out for nose tackle. He's a big guy. You know, hard to say what the Packers plan on doing here at that particular position. Maybe they eventually go to a 4-3 full-time. They're just not going to do it this year. I don't know. I mean, probably a lot. There will be a big say in how the 2013-2014 season plays out into answering that question, I suppose. You know, I don't think the Packers are making schematic plans for 2015 already. They're kind of worried about the season at hand first. You know, and they've committed to the 3-4, to Raji at nose tackle, to Julius Peppers, kind of being an edge rusher. They've committed to that for this upcoming season. Beyond that is still up in the air. But anyway, I found that to be an interesting discussion, seeing as we don't have a whole lot else to talk about in the world of the Green Bay Packers here after a weekend in which there wasn't much Packers news. I mean, they went out and signed John Kuhn late last week. We discussed that at length on Friday's episode of Railbird Central, kind of discussed the fullback position in Green Bay in length and what they may or may not do there. Do they get rid of it forever? Well, again, let's let the 2014 season play itself out before we're deciding what the Packers do with John Kuhn and BJ Raji for that matter as well. Today, Monday, what is the day today? April 7th today. Today is the first day that NFL teams with new head coaches can begin their off-season programs. So in terms of the NFC North, in terms of the Packers' division rivals, the Detroit Lions and Jim Caldwell and the Minnesota Vikings and Mike Zimmer are getting started with their programs today for the first time. Granted, they can't do a whole lot. Any team in the NFL, the first 2 weeks of your off-season program, it's strictly strength and conditioning, rehab kind of stuff from injuries. So literally, they're working in the weight room and that's it. They can work outside the weight room, but I mean, it's, you know, strictly, you know, they aren't doing anything with football. It's just, you know, lifting weights, running, getting in condition, things like that. They're not talking X's and O's or anything like that. So, I mean, it's not like there's this huge advantage there. But, you know, the NFL tries to give, you know, teams with new head coaches just a little bit more acclimation time, you know, letting them get caught up to teams that already have a staff and coach in place and have for more than 1 year. They just allow them that courtesy, I guess. And seeing as there's so much, you know, more that takes place when you got a new head coach. They're getting there. I mean, all the players are at least, you know, Minnesota, Detroit, anywhere that is a new head coach. They're gathering under the same roof for the first time. Granted, again, voluntary. Veterans do not have to show up to off-season, you know, strength and conditioning, things like that. They can do it on their own. Although, I mean, as we've seen in Green Bay, you know, usually more than 90% do. So it's practically the whole team. And so they're getting started. The Packers still 2 weeks off from that. They'll begin things underway. I think it's April 22nd is the date where the Packers start hitting the weights and they start coming back to Green Bay. They're all at 1265 Lombardi Avenue under one roof, kind of, you know, just beginning the season in earnest. The only thing that's really going on today in the world of the Green Bay Packers is I wrote in our daily Packers calendar. You can see it on the homepage there at Cheesehead TV if you just scroll down. The defensive lineman Mike Daniels is doing an appearance in Milwaukee on Monday, appearing at Walgreens on Oakland Avenue from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time, presumably signing autographs, taking photographs with fans, with customers. And the pro day circuit is really, really slowing down this week. There's only two pro days, I think, today on a Monday. These are the last 2 weeks of pro days, I think. This week, next week, and I think that's it. As far as any that are have been published and that I have knowledge of, at least. Louisiana Lafayette has their pro day today, and so does Towson University. Towson, of course, advancing all the way to the national championship game in the FCS division. And they ended up losing the championship game to North Dakota State, but still had a very, very good team and a very, very good year, led by running back Terrence West, who was invited to the NFL Combine, kind of their premier player and the best player on that team. And he'll kind of be the star attraction today on the Pro Day circuit that the Packers may or may not be at. Usually they're at, you know, a majority of the big ones. I suppose, though, maybe they don't have too much interest in a running back, seeing that's probably one of the most deepest positions on the team. Regardless, though, Terrence West is a good one, and he will be working out in front of scouts, decision makers, personnel people today on Monday. But that's pretty much it in the world of the Green Bay Packers as it stands. Hopefully we'll have more to talk about later this week and we get some Packers news that breaks. But we're also getting up to the run-up of the NFL draft here. I'm going to try to start having some draft experts on the show, start talking to some people, bringing them in, little interviews here and there, see what we can't glean, see what we can't learn in the run-up to the NFL draft here the next few weeks. But that'll do it for today's episode, folks. Monday morning on Railbird Central. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We'll be back again on Wednesday as we are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Mauna Boa by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.